For many of us, the idea of fasting holds spiritual components, being thought of in conjunction with prayer, while others may recall a mandatory medical fast ordered before a surgery or other medical procedure. But can fasting as a habit actually benefit our physical health? The answer may surprise you. Stay tuned as we delve into this fascinating topic on today's Return to Eden. I'm Allie Henson. Let me introduce today's guests. He's a board-certified holistic health practitioner and professional fitness nutrition specialist, Joe Horn.
Thanks, Allie.
And he's a certified holistic health coach through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and Product Development Manager for the professional-grade supplement and body care line, Eden's Essentials. Please welcome Daniel Belt.
Thank you, Allie. I appreciate it.
Joe and Daniel, thank you so much for joining me again this week. I'm particularly excited about today's topic because it seems like there are so many things that people say, one of these days I'm going to do this and I know it's going to positively impact my health. But for so many of these things, there's always a monetary investment. And today's topic is something that a person can literally start today for free because it is completely having to do with habits. So when I started looking into intermittent fasting, I was helping you with the research for the book Unlocking Eden. And I decided to try it and actually immediately found that there was a very big difference in how I felt. My body felt more in sync. My circadian rhythm was more intact. It was easier to fall asleep at night, easier to wake up in the morning. All this from changing not what I was even eating, but when I ate it. One of the things I found is that when people are talking about intermittent fasting, you kind of start seeing this lingo surface. And so people are like, oh yeah, IIF. And you're like, you if, what does that mean?
IIF.
Yeah, people IIF. Yeah. So when people are saying IF, they're talking about intermittent fasting, they're shortening it. Mm-hmm. But what exactly, to a person who's never heard of IFing, what does this mean, intermittent fasting?
It's pretty self-explanatory, and yet it's a little complex, isn't it, Daniel?
Yeah, it is, but it is simple in its application once you get used to the lingo that you were referencing. It's essentially closing your eating window to a certain period of time in the day. And the studies are overwhelmingly positive and attest to just the fact of what you were saying. Like, it entrains the circadian rhythm. It provides just a really broad spectrum of pretty quick benefits. It's something that people notice very directly. And I won't go too far into the studies on it, but the kind of general assessment is that if you can close your eating window a few days a week, and if you need to start with one day, you can start there. It's not about, you know, idealism. It's about what you can practically achieve, and not everybody's in the same position. But ideally, that if you can close all of your calorie intake in a day to 12 hours, then you start to see some pretty significant benefits across the board, statistically very significant. If fasting was a medicine, they would have patented it, and it would be on every convenience store.
Yeah, if you could just pop a pill, right?
Yes, the benefits are pretty extreme. There's been quite a few studies, and they've done it over different intervals. So 12 hours, all your calorie consumption for 10 hours, they actually found there was a significant benefit where if you took all of your calories in 10 hours, even way above the 12 hours.
You should probably explain that, though, because when you're saying 12 hours and 10 hours, I know that there's viewers at home that don't even know what it is that we're getting at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So explain when you say the narrowing of the number of hours you're going to eat food throughout the day.
Yeah. So it is just that. And so basically there's 24 hours in the day. And we don't really realize that our metabolism is literally running almost 24 hours a day because we eat all the way up until we sleep, generally.
Right.
And we eat as soon as we wake up. And so the metabolism never really gets a break. And metabolism is meant for so much more stuff than digestion of food.
And it's one
That's
of the
just
most
a tiny
laborious
of
things that's Absolutely. Happening in the background, whether we're conscious of it or not.
Yeah,
the amount of energy that your body exerts while digesting and trying to absorb your macronutrients and micronutrients and store things on reserve so that it can produce hormones. I mean, your metabolism is going on constantly. So go ahead.
So whenever you close your eating window to 12 hours where you're going to take in all your calories in that 12-hour period,
right,
from like 7 a.m., your cutoff would be at 7 p.m.
Right.
And that means no cream in the coffee, literally all of your calories, no other thing but, you know, water and tea maybe, or coffee.
Like an herbal tea.
Yeah, that doesn't have any calories.
Glucose or calories.
Yeah, something that's going to stimulate the metabolic
function. So like a fruit juice is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consequently, if you close that to 10 hours, so say if you ate at 7 a.m. and your last food was at 5 p.m.
Which is ideal.
Well, actually, it's second to ideal. Then what happens is the benefits almost double. They significantly increase over just the 12-hour restriction. Mm-hmm. The ideal one is actually the ones that close it to 8 hours. So if your first food is at, say, 9 a.m., then your last food would be at 5 p.m. And those numbers are off the charts. And it is expansive in what it addresses. It is almost total system, body-wide effect from memory, yeah, brain function, inflammation, metabolism, immune. Almost every vital aspect to a human being is benefited at this time.
Yeah, this was very key. You know, Sharon Gilbert.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at video of her from 5-6 years ago,
it's incredible.
She has dropped, I don't want to give you an exact amount because I'm not exactly clear, but it's well over 100 pounds. Yeah. I think it's closer to 120 pounds.
Yeah. Thing she did.
She got off all of her medications, which had been diagnosed MS, and now she has no symptoms of whatever that was, mm-hmm, and is a completely different person. But I mean, if you look at her today versus 5-6 years ago, and that's basically one of the main things that she did was she eats like an apple and water. I'm not saying this is what you have to do for dinner, but this is what she started doing. So she has breakfast and a lunch, and then her dinner is like an apple and a glass of water at like 5 p.m. And that's it. No snacking, no late binge eating, not even for movies and whatever. And a tremendous amount of weight loss. And then she put a whole bunch of autoimmunity into remission too.
Yeah. This is completely supported by science.
And that's why you said if you could package this and have a pill called intermittent fasting,
yeah,
there would be no cap to the money that you could make.
Yeah, that's what, like, yeah, we all going right to the steakhouse tonight. And there's so many other benefits, and it is a pretty direct and applicable way. It can be a challenge, but it's actually more of a perspective challenge because it's hard to wrap our mind like, oh, is that really calories? Mm-hmm. Most people do not understand when they take in calories. They actually really haven't thought about it to the level at which is true. I mean, I really would just recommend that if you can get to a few times a week, this creates what's called metabolic flexibility, and it lets the metabolism rest. And I would, as a generalization, say there's probably nothing that fights aging more. Because age has nothing to do with time. It's about process and conditions. Mm-hmm. And so the conditions into which you live and operate and your environment, and then also, you know, basically your metabolism, all the work it has to do all the time takes resources from the body and causes it to age. And that's all of the functions. It's brain function, cardiovascular function, metabolism, weight gain, kidneys, liver, detox. What's called autophagy. Autophagy is where it's very important. And we could really tie this to the spiritual aspect of it as well, which I think we probably will. But there is a very powerful effect called autophagy. And it only happens when you basically fast. And there's a couple other scenarios that almost nobody does that would make that happen. Autophagy is what happens when the body takes something that's detrimental to it, and I'm greatly generalizing this subject, but takes it and destroys it and eliminates it. So if you don't do that, no other time in your life is your body actually with this mechanism it's born with to kill off things that kill you.
Right. But it's kind of like deep maintenance. Your body, when you're just binge consuming, watching TV, snacking, going to bed, it never gets a chance to do that deep, deep dive cleanup where it's actually finding dead cells, cells the body has long since abandoned, or nefarious cells that the body is trying to maintenance but can't. Yeah. And it goes in and it begins to actually eat all of those dead cells, and then you begin to detox on a level that's not possible when all you do is eat 3 squares a day and plus snacks and plus juice and plus coffee. Yep.
I would say for me, and I believe this to be a scientific truth, although I don't know that I can declare that authoritatively or legalistically, that it is a spiritual imperative. Like, what did Jesus do when he wanted to go to talk to God? And there's a reason it's mentioned over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I can't actually have the number of overs that it is mentioned in the Bible. So there's not enough time for that. But there's reasons why. And it's never like, if you want to, or it's literally never a choice. Like, is this not the fast you have chosen, you know, which I've talked about before? And no, actually, it's not.
Well, the Bible says when you fast.
Yeah.
Not if you decide to.
Yes. And, and I believe it's a requirement. And this requires this realignment of perspective and philosophy. And that's something we really want to convey. I want to unpack a lot of really applicable tools and things that people can use in their life. But a lot of it, we're going to have a conversation that brings people to a common understanding first.
Right.
You know, and hopefully that this program will provide that. That yeah. over time, if we can stick with this long enough, some of this might be a little long-winded. We always are feeling rushed. And we're just being honest. We are always feeling rushed because we cannot do these projects the justice that we really want to. But we're going to do our best, and we're going to get to some real valuable things. But we need to have these discussions so that we can have a common language, and it's not so foreign to everybody.
Laying a foundation so that when you talk about the more complicated things people have had, even if this is your first time joining us, you know, you can go back and watch the earlier ones and kind of get that foundation so that when we get into the more complicated stuff and we talk about intermittent fasting, a person doesn't go, oh, hold on, what's that?
Yeah.
You know.
And it's not ministered to. The Bible's been around a long time. And
a little while.
It says this is only used as a declarative. When you fast, like you said, it's like it's a declarative. There's never like choice associated with it. And science is catching up to it. Why do we not know this already? In my mind, this is actually one of the spiritual warfare things.
Well, it's a law of God. So when you say there's no choice, it's not that God does not present us with a choice. Obviously, we can elect to live outside of his will on lots of fronts. Well, right?
Yeah, totally.
But if you know what I'm saying.
I do. And I'm laughing because that is what I meant.
But to obey the laws of God, to live within his will, it is part of the ingredients is that he would like for you to forego food. And we think of it generally, okay, this is a sacrificial thing because he wants to see us skip over something that we want. Well, there's part of that that's part of it. But there's this other part of it that we're only just discovering. Having to do with a direct causation in terms of how it impacts our health. And so just kind of dispel some of the complexity of this. The other way that intermittent fasting presents itself when you're just getting started, if some of this sounds overwhelming, I leave too early in the morning. If I were to eat any later than that, I wouldn't have time again till 7 p.m. And now I'm dizzy. So one really pragmatic step that a person can begin with is to simply forego a meal of their choosing. So like if, for example, and I love to do dinner because it's the closest one to bedtime where your metabolism is trying to enter into a rest state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's, in terms of weight loss, this is another really key one. Because your metabolism's not jump-starting to meet the day. But the point is, if you could have breakfast and then lunch, just start out with once a week, pick one dinner, and skip it. Instead, drink water and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because you may that first time feel, oh, my goodness, man, I'm not used to this at all. And by 8 p.m., you're biting on your nails, and you're thinking, I don't know, I'm going to cave. I don't know, I'm not used to this. But if you can do something to supplant your appetite, like I find that dandelion tea, dandelion root
tea, herbal tea,
a good herbal tea, a good green tea, this is just me talking, especially when I've done multiple day fasts, which is probably a whole other program.
We'll talk that another day.
Yeah, we might skip over some of that today, but that's something you really should do under the advisement of a healthcare practitioner that can work with you because there are, you know, people with diabetes and different glucose needs and things like that. And going without food for too long if you're not medically ready for it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
the key, medically ready for it.
Yep.
You know, you may faint and hit your head and you know what I'm saying? You have to be medically ready for it. But skip one meal. And you'll find that the second or the third or the fourth time you do that, some of it, Daniel, I think, is the anxiety of the unknown.
Yeah.
I swear to you, once you know you can do it, you will make it to bedtime. And when you fall asleep, your appetite subdues.
Yeah.
And you make it to the next morning, you feel proud of yourself, your body's had a little time to maintenance. You may have lost a half pound. Just saying. No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I've watched this happen where people lose an average of a half pound, a third pound, doing this just because their body gets a chance to purge, detox, rid itself of unwanted waste and do some deep maintenance.
Talking about you didn't even change really the content of what you're eating. The studies actually promote that idea too. And I want to be clear, as per our previous conversations about the way food is and how we're meant to fulfill our lives, is actually the studies do suggest that even if you eat a poor diet, you get real benefit from closing that window.
Guys, hold your thoughts. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now. Trouble with digestion, diabetes, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalances, depression, autoimmune disease, and more. The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of vitally important nutrition. It is well established that the food we eat today has but just a fraction of the nutrition it once carried. Over the last 6 decades, there has been an alarming fall in nutrient density across the board, from fruits and vegetables to meat, dairy and eggs, due to soil depletion and intensive agricultural growing and harvesting methods. This means that less and less key nutrients like riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, fiber, copper, vitamin E, and phosphorus, just to name a few, are present in what we eat. What's worse, almost all of our food is laden with poisonous herbicides, pesticides, and antibiotics, which destroy our body's microbiome, the health of our digestive tracts, where 80% of our immune system resides. In short, it means that we're not being nourished properly. And when you add the constant exposures to toxic chemicals we were never meant to ingest, our bodies are destined for the rise of disease and dysfunction. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? At Eden's Essentials, we provide the absolute best and cleanest nutrient-dense whole food supplements and personal care products on the market, derived directly from non-genetically modified foods grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest quality nutrition possible. So what is the Eden's Essentials difference? Well, many supplements on the market are packaged, labeled, and presented as healthy or even organic. But under the microscope, the ingredients may tell a different story. We take pride in offering the most nutritionally dense supplements and the purest personal hygiene products available today. Our desire is to help serve the needs of everyday people so that they can achieve the highest degree of health possible. From our full-spectrum, immunity-boosting fermented mushrooms, some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition, to our 100% fermented organic whole beetroot powder for cardiovascular support, and our special Eden's blood sugar support for assisting proper insulin regulation, you can nourish your body like never before. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. Experience for yourself the Eden's Essentials difference and join the Eden's family. Visit edensessentials.com today.
Before the break, you had mentioned autophagy, and I'd like to give the viewers a little bit more understanding what that word actually means and what it means that their body is doing when they're fasting.
Yeah, so it's rooted down into autophaging, for kind of lack of a better phrase, and basically it's the self-cannibalism where the body cleans itself up. And a lot of the times, if you can ever find somebody who will ever minister to fasting and why it matters and has historical precedence, then one of the things I would say is associated is we're making a temporal sacrifice for a spiritual gain. And it is actually the opposite. We are actually sacrificing some of our earthly ideas and we're putting a spiritual investment in, not a physical one. We gain physical benefits. So we're not making temporal sacrifices, we're making temporal gains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important difference because you're not actually losing, you're winning.
No, that's absolutely right. But it kind of does speak to the anxiety that I mentioned earlier, that some of it is just mental. When people are not used to not eating, a lot of people, that's how they cope with their work day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that comfort bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't tried it, seriously, I'm telling you, I went through this. After decades of peanut butter and whatever I wanted to drink and staying up till 1 a.m, and I'm coming now into this health journey and my colon is destroyed and I'm starting to regain my health via the natural approach to basically everything from water to food that I'm eating. And there was this moment in my journey where now I feel like to go next level. Mm-hmm. I'd done everything nutritionally I knew to do, and I was eating the cleanest food that I could eat, but I was still hovering at around 80%, 85%, and I felt like I'd kind of plateaued. The next phase for me was going to be this fasting thing that I'd been reading about and learning about. And I'm just being real with you. I dropped a bunch of weight and everything else, but it was kind of weird. I'm telling you, there was a real anxiety not having food. And of course, I also went gangbusters. Actually, I should share this because so you know that old adage, if a little bit is good, a whole lot more must be better. I probably didn't do this safely, okay? But I went from I skipped over one dinner, And I'd been watching videos. I'd never done a fast in my life, but I'd been watching videos from people that practiced intermittent fasting and, you know, YouTubing the benefits and things. One guy said, you know, get up the next morning and see how you feel. And if you think you're strong enough to go on, maybe skip breakfast. And then at lunch, see how you're doing.
Oh, no.
Right? So I took him literal, right? And I did exactly that. So I'd gone from I'd never fasted in my life to like dizzy and kind of lightheaded. And I've gone through the whole night. Now I'm skipping breakfast. Now I've skipped lunch. Now I'm getting really hungry. Like my colon is starting to almost feel like it's bound. Mm-hmm. The gnawing of itself, which is a whole other program, may have even been experiencing a new layer of detox.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is also desiring carbs and things from a previous life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it has not had to cope without food. So there's this pain, right? You could point at your guts and say, there's no way that something isn't wrong right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This pain is bizarre. Okay, I skip dinner. And by the time I go to sleep, you guys are grinning at me like this is funny or something. I'm telling you, this happened. I went to sleep and was happy that my appetite subdued. So I did learn that. No matter how hungry you are, for the most part, once you go to sleep, your chemistry changes, your metabolism adjusts. It's now nighttime. It's going into a rest period. And you can mostly sleep. And I get up day two. I'm feeling okay. I remember the guy said that you could keep going. And then I started getting this really bad lower back pain. And I could only speculate what may have been happening. Seriously, the renal strain of what I was doing without any kind of food to metabolize.
Yeah.
Suddenly, all the those systems strain. Just shut. Yeah, the kidneys and stuff. But anyway, this goes on now. And now I'm at like dinner time day two. So I haven't eaten for 2.5 days. And I really felt like I was having these almost blackout events where I'm grabbing the counter. And finally, my wife comes home and she says, I know you're really serious about claiming your health and making gains, but you may pass out at some point. No, honey. I think I'm going to be all right. And, you know, this was before I knew I had MTHFR even.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what I might have been void of or low on. And my point is, folks, you can get into serious potassium trouble. You can get into serious cardiovascular trouble if you don't do this thing properly. So I'm sharing that. It may be funny and a little anecdotal, but you do almost have to work your body into that.
Yeah.
And well, again, the anxiety, the fear, I'm telling you, if you've never been without a meal, even if there's food right in front of you and you know that it isn't because you're homeless or on the streets or don't have access to food, for some it's a real challenge to overcome that. That so, saying no to the desire of eating food. And
right. Well, for all of history until modernity, food was always an issue to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's never been like it's wired into us into that way, which is why it's important, though, that we have governance over our mind. And to kind of button up a bit on what you were saying and to cycle back a little bit what I was saying is you're absolutely right, because things are happening. Your body's cleansing itself in a way it has never done before in ever in the entirety of its life. That is not an easy thing to do. And it can create anxiety and stress. But here's the thing.
Big time.
If just applied properly, you can do it. You will actually be okay, and you will be better for it. And so the thing I was trying to illustrate is we almost exclusively talk about getting spiritual gains, and that isn't the case. Mm-hmm. You actually get physical gains. And there are probably some spiritual gain in that from the idea of...
There is,
as far as like separating oneself.
Especially because, you know, God recognizes the heart of the individual. They may not have a clue what's happening metabolically to their body, but they are doing it as a sacrifice to God, and He is honoring them.
Yeah. Again, it's the right action that brings us closer to God. Well, I just don't think what gets talked about much
is
you will reach a detox that you cannot have in your life, and God wants that for you.
Right.
He doesn't want you to be filled with poison.
Right.
He wants to reduce your inflammation.
Right.
He wants the pain to go down.
Right.
He wants to show that you're resilient. And that's where the spiritual gain really does come in. It's like you can make it and you can do this, but you have to sacrifice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that requires actually a leap of faith.
Right.
And this is really where it does end, the spiritual side of it. Like, you have to have faith that you'll be okay.
Right.
So you're not used to it. Starvation has been that thing for all of human history.
Right. If a person wanted a really good picture of what intermittent fasting is, some of the benefits, and also just a really simple to do step-by-step breakdown of how to get started, you and I actually wrote about this in our book, Unlocking Eden, which, you know, viewers are welcome to pick up at the Skywatch TV store. But if not that, even just in this program, following this show today, viewers at home, people here in the audience, think about just foregoing one meal and do it almost as an experiment, right? Pick a meal that you normally wouldn't think you could live without and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, when you get into like prolonged fasting, and we're getting really close to the end of the show, mm-hmm. but when you get into things like prolonged fasting, again, for the record, we want to encourage you to find a holistic approach healthcare practitioner that can kind of work with you to come up with a plan that makes sense for you and where you're at medically. So when I told my silly story, this is not licensed. I'm not suggesting that you run out and see how many days you can make it without food.
No, that
food,
was
okay?
what
you
know. Not to do. That's the thing you don't do.
Yeah, that was what not to do.
And one meal a day omission is enough to close your eating window to what we're saying.
Even fasting one entire day a week, what that does for the metabolism and what it does for anti-aging. And
it was really one of the very first things I did. So I read a book by a guy named Paul Bragg called The Miracle of Fasting. It was one of the first books I ever read when I was trying to get healthy. It changed my life. I mean, it really gave me those gains. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard. I stunk. I actually smelled bad. Mm-hmm. I felt bad. I was thinking bad. There was a lot that came with that. And as far as we're talking about prolonged fasting now, but
because your body's expunging.
Yeah, and I didn't know any better. Yeah. And intermittent fasting wasn't really a thing. But we now know that we can do something much more simple, which is just even like the omission of one meal, mm-hmm. and that will get us into that fasting window.
Yeah, that's why I love intermittent fasting without having to spend money or change a whole lot about what you do, just change when you do it. I think it's great. Joe, Daniel, thank you so much for joining me today. For everybody in the studio, thank you for being here. Viewers at home, thank you for joining us. Join us next week when we talk about the health benefits of eating fermented foods. We'll see you next time.
Hi there, I'm Brie Graffio with Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Belt, and we're going to talk to you today about our Eden's Fermented Turmeric and Ginger. Daniel, what can you tell us about our product today?
Yeah, so first, what turmeric is for, it has many properties outside of being just delicious. It is a common spice, but it's typically used for proper inflammatory responsing. It's good for cardiovascular health. It's good for the liver. It has shown benefits to helping out with blood sugar as well. So it really addresses a variety of issues that are common today.
That's so great. Is there anything that you can tell us about what makes our formulation great and different from other formulations?
Sure. Turmeric works very well specifically with ginger, so mm-hmm. that it's also in it. And then, again, a big asset to our products in specific, which is a common theme here, which is fermentation is king.
Absolutely.
It's fermented, and when we put it through that process, it unlocks the nutrients that are in the spices in order to make them more bioavailable to us. And in that process, other nutrients are created as well that provide a wide range of nutritional benefits and health benefits across the board. And that would be the main reasons that it's really good.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you. Now, you could go to the grocery store and start to incorporate some organically grown turmeric and ginger. Or, of course, you can call us at 1-800-652-7168 or order online. And, of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at info@edensessentials.com. Thank you.